Well, the word's good.
Amen.
I said the word's good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Love the word. Love the word. Love the word. Go to Mark chapter 4, and we'll get right going here. You know, I really don't try to keep you for as long as I can. That's not my goal. It just happens, right? Some of these things just happen. I can't help it. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14 is where we're going to start. And we'll pray before we get into the word and believe God that what he wants said will be said. And what he wants done will be done. He can have his way. Father, we do love you today. We're just so grateful to be in your presence. So thankful that you're here. And Lord, we're just so thankful you left us your word. Father, we don't have to wonder. We don't have to wander. But you've given us direction in every area of our life. And Father, I thank you that you didn't leave anything out, Father. There's no places that you want us to struggle. There's no places you want us to be in lack. There's no places you want us to walk in defeat. It's always victory. It's always health. It's always prosperity. It's always joy. It's always peace of mind with you. And so, Father, if we're lacking in any of these areas, we know the word is our answer. And so speak to our hearts today, Father. Speak something specific to every single person that is here. Father, whatever they're going through, help them. Talk to them this morning. And it'll be a sign unto them that you love them and that you care for them and that you want better for their life. And we're believing you for utterance this morning, Father. Whatever you want said, whatever you want done, Father, have your way in this service. I mean that. I'm just a branch. You're the vine. If I cut myself off from you, my supply is gone and I become nothing. And so, Lord, we look to you. We don't glorify the name of a ministry. We don't glorify the name of the minister. We glorify the name of Jesus. And we thank you for help. We thank you. We're going to be bettered here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. I'm going to read down through verse 20. And then I'm going to just real quick do a review because we started a new series last week. Just kind of give you an overview of what this portion of Scripture is. And I'm excited about this series. It'll probably be a 4 or 5 week series starting last week. If you didn't hear last week's sermon, I encourage you to get online and hear it. It'll help you and bless you. This is one of those series that is just practical, foundational stuff for our life, but it's so vital to us. And it's simple stuff. And man, I'm so glad the word is simple. I remember being in school when they start talking about difficult things or hard things, man, I turned them off and put my head down and went to sleep and just, whoo, right over my head. I guess you'd say I'm a simple kind of person. And if there's ever anything in the word that's not simple, or if there's anything ever in the word that you don't understand or it's just way too complex, then it probably wasn't preached that well because Jesus made things simple. He made things for simple people to understand. You know, the disciples weren't they didn't have their doctorates. And thank God for people that have their doctorates, but they didn't have theirs. They didn't have, this highly educated background and everything like that. And so he spoke on their level, but the things of the kingdom of God are simple. The things of the kingdom of God are not meant to be difficult or so deep and just, whoa, that blows my mind. No, they're just simple things that if you put into practice, that's why I appreciate the word so much. And so that's what this series is kind of about. And, you'll see as we read and as I kind of give you the overview, but let's just go ahead and read Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, the sower sows the word. Of course, if you don't know, that's what I'm doing today. I'm sowing the word into your life. Verse 15 says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and they endure for a time afterward when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. Immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now, just an overview of what this is saying is that the sower sows the word, and the word falls on four different places. And it falls into people, obviously, but Jesus is likening people to soil. Don't be offended. He's not calling you a dirtbag. Amen. You ever been called a dirtbag before? He's not calling you a dirtbag. But anyways, he's likening you to soil. And he's saying that the seed falls on four different types of ground. And what's amazing here is without even going and looking at all the things of the about the Word of God, we know that the Word of God is powerful.
Amen.
It's powerful. The Bible says that it's powerful, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And The Bible says that the Word of God can cause health to come to your flesh. That's power. When you can just preach the Word of God and have people be healed in a service, bodily things be healed, that's power. When you can apply the Word of God to a sickness, like we did last week with Matthew, that I remember specifically saying when I prayed, Lord, he has a covenant of healing with you, and he does. I said, Lord, so we expect. And so you apply the Word to a golf ball-sized growth, and the Word can cause that to go. That's power. You know, I applied the Word to my financial situations and things like that, and seeing them turn around, things that went from poverty and darkness and death to life and prosperity. Things with my children that were told about my kids and speaking things over my kids, speaking the Word. The Word is life and the Word is powerful. And so it's interesting that when the Word goes forth and falls out on the ground, it says that 3 out of the 4 people that hear the Word will not get anything out of it. Isn't that amazing? The Word that is so powerful. And the thing is, it's not the seed's fault. You know, if you had a packet of the best corn seed in the whole world, and scientists and farmers came together, and they came up with this formula to create this corn seed that is just going to be the most beautiful looking ear of corn, the most tasty, and every time that it sprung up, the ear was just perfect, full of kernels, nothing wrong with it, and they perfected this, and they grew this, and they saw that it worked, and they handed out the seed to people. You know, if you took that potent, powerful seed, and you went out onto Pine Street out here and dumped it on the pavement, you can't expect that to grow. It doesn't matter how good the seed is. The soil has so much to do with it. Well, we know that the seed, the Bible says the Word is the incorruptible seed. The seed's not the problem here. The Word is wonderful. The Word always works. The Word is always power. The Word is always life. The problem lies, and this is where we have to take some responsibility, is the ground that it falls on. And the awesome thing that you'll learn on this series is it depends on you what kind of ground you are. If you're going to be hard, stony, thorny ground and full of stones and the wayside, that's up to you. But you don't have to be that way. Thank God. The devil doesn't have to determine that. Your spouse doesn't have to determine that. Your friends, your job, you determine the ground that you will be. Thank God for that. Because notice that it says in this portion of Scripture that your success and your growth depends on what you do with the Word. It depends on what the hearer does with the Word. And so in this series, what we're going to do starting today is we're going to look at the 4 different types of ground. We'll do that the next four weeks and then finish up the series. And today we're going to look at the wayside ground, but we're going to look and we're going to see, okay, this ground that doesn't produce anything, the Bible says these are the characteristics of what will cause that ground to not produce any fruit. Well, what I want us to do in this series is I want us to make adjustments. I want us to check up on ourselves. And when something's pointed out and when you see something, to look at it and say, okay, you know what? I can see how that's stopping the Word from working. I can see how that's stopping growth and stopping production in my life. I'm just going to make a little adjustment down on the inside and change some things. Amen? You know, and let me encourage you with this. I want to encourage you about making an adjustment. You know, when I got born again, January 10th of 2002, I came into the kingdom as a druggie and alcoholic, and had a horrible gambling. Probably you've all heard the stories, and severely depressed and very immoral. And that's the way I came into the kingdom of God. And I had a whole lot of stuff, and I had a whole lot of wrong thinking. Had a whole lot of things that were really hindering me from being helped. But thank God, God is merciful. And that's what you need to know in this series, that when something is brought up, because your toes will get stepped on in this series, in the sense, what I mean by that, things will be pointed out in your life, because let me promise you this, you're not Jesus, and neither am I, which means you're not perfect, and neither am I. And I've said this before, if you're looking for the perfect church, make sure you don't go there, because then you're going to mess the whole thing up for that church, right? And same with me. I'm going to stay away from the perfect churches because I don't want to mess them up. And so when you see things, that's not God saying I'm mad at you. You see, when I found out in the Word, listen, you know, I knew the drugs and the drinking and the gambling. I knew in the lifestyle, I knew it wasn't helping my life. I mean, I wake up depressed every day and just more miserable and try to go even deeper into it to get a bigger fix. And then when that wore off, it was even in a worse place than I was before. So I knew those things weren't helping me. But when I came into the kingdom of God, I saw that God's not pushing me away because of my stuff. God's open arms saying, let me help you with your stuff. Let me fix the things. And when things would get pointed out in my life that, okay, you know, you might want to do this financially. You might want to do this with your lifestyle. You might want to do this with your body. It wasn't God saying with the baseball bat, trying to smash you over the head and saying, you are a terrible person. How dare you? How could you do that? That's the devil doing that. And when those kind of things come to you and condemnation comes to you and guilt, that's not God. Always know God will never deal with you through condemnation or guilt. He'll never deal with you through. And anytime you're tempted to take guilt or condemnation, that's not the Father coming down on you. That's the devil throwing these darts at you and trying to get you into that place of condemnation and guilt. And so real quick, I just want to go there. We didn't go there last night, but Romans 8, verse 1, while we're on this, I'm preaching the same series in both churches. First time I've done a whole series at the same places, and different things come out in each service. But Romans 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore what? Now. No. Now, right now. God is saying there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I love that he said this is the time frame of it. Right now there's no condemnation in your life. God's not dealing with you through condemnation. He's not dealing with you through guilt or inferiority complex or you're a bad person and beating you up with your past and all these things. No, that's not how he deals with you. He deals with you by correction in the Word. And I like to say it this way. The devil will sit there and wallop over your head with a baseball bat, and God's just taking his hand and kind of patting you on the butt a little bit. Like, come on, let's pick it up a little bit, and let's make some adjustments, and let's make a change. I love you. He'll love you into good. Amen? He'll love you into better. And so it's important to point that out, because let's face it, the preaching of the Word will bring conviction in our hearts. And if the preaching of the Word doesn't bring, if you're ever in places where they're preaching the Word and you're not getting convicted, they're probably not preaching the gospel. Because the gospel always challenges us. The gospel always calls us to a higher place. And again, don't get into that ditch of condemnation. That's not how God deals with you. And so it's important to know this going forward in this series, because you are going to see things. There's three types of ground. Or 75% of people don't receive things because of the stuff they have in their life, because of the wrong decisions, because of the wrong way they're going about things, and they're causing themselves to be the wrong kind of ground. So when you see these things, just say, Lord, thank you for pointing these out to me. I'm going to make that adjustment. Help me to make that adjustment. But don't go out of here feeling bad. Don't go out of here thinking somebody's doing this to you. That's why I'm so open about my life. And if you think after I cleaned up all those things that I became perfect, well, you're wrong. Every day it seems I'm using 1 John 1 and verse 9. If you confess your faults, he's faithful and just. So I'm not standing up here pointing at you and saying you're so terrible and you're so wrong and you have a million things in your life. No, we all have our stuff. Right? Join the stuff club, right? We're all in the stuff club. But God is good. And again, you don't get in the other ditch that gives you the license. Well, God's good and merciful, so I'll just live any way I want. No. You know, you grow and you progress when God's trying to help you and he's merciful. So don't beat yourself up for these things. And I also want to know that this growth that you see in the Word doesn't happen overnight. Because, you know, when I first got saved and started to change, you know, the better the ground becomes, the more seed you put in the ground and the better it becomes, that's when the harvest starts to increase. So the more that you work on your life, the more that you make adjustments to the Word, and the more that you line your life up with the Word, and then you continue to let the seed come into you, you're going to start seeing changes. And you'll look back on your life and say, man, I can't even recognize where I was or who I was. And I'll tell you what, that's a wonderful thing, because I'll tell you, there's some past Mike Anderson's that I don't want to know. And I don't want to talk to that one anymore. And I don't want to see what he was a part of and how his life was just being overrun by the enemy. So that's what we're going to look at. That's what we're seeing here. But just take heed, and I warn you that the Word of God goes forth, but 3/4 of people won't receive it. 3/4 of people won't receive it. So you need to make up in your mind right now, I'm going to be the 25%. And I'll show you how to be that 25%. But we also got to show you what not to do. Sometimes you can learn a whole lot by what not to do. So verse 15 of Mark chapter 4 is the first ground we're going to look at, the wayside ground. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4 and verse 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And the first thing that really pops out to me in that verse, when now we're looking at the wayside ground and we're lining up our lives, and we want to say, you know, I don't want to be like the wayside ground. Because if the word's taken away, that's the seed. If the seed's taken away, there's no harvest. A farmer cannot go out into a field and let's say they threw down some seed and someone came through and picked up all the seed, or the farmer came through after they threw down the seed, picked up all the seed, and walk out to that field and expect a harvest. It can't do that. And so if the word's taken away, your harvest is taken away. Your ability to bear fruit is taken away. What do I mean by bearing fruit? I'm talking in all areas of life. Fruit in your finances, fruit in your body, fruit in your relationships, fruit in your children, fruit in your businesses, fruit in your jobs, fruit in all sorts of different things. And so we got to make sure, number one, that we get in a place where we're not wayside ground. So today's goal, today's lesson is don't be wayside ground. So let's look at this. It says, number one, that Satan comes immediately to take away the word that was sown in your heart. Notice it doesn't say Satan comes immediately to put a sickness on your body. See, if he can get the word out of you, he knows the sickness will follow. He doesn't say Satan comes immediately to give you the biggest financial attack in your life and take away all your money. No, that's not what Satan's after. He's after the word in your life. Because if he can get the word, the financial problems will follow. And say he's coming to destroy your relationships, destroy your family, destroy your children. No, he's coming to take the word, because if he can take the word, those things will follow. And so number one, we need to be aware and we need to be vigilant to the fact that Satan is coming to steal something precious from us. And, you know, if I had... I was thinking about baseball cards last night. This came up in the sermon. There's an old baseball card called a Honus Wagner. He was a shortstop for the Pittsburgh Pirates, like in the 1800s. And there's only like 6 or 7 of these baseball cards in existence. And they're worth, last time I knew it was $500,000. I don't know if it's any more now, but we're talking about a piece of cardboard with a dude's face on it. It's worth that much money. To some people, will pay that. Now, I wouldn't pay that, but some people would pay that. And if I came across one of those, man, it'd be like hitting a jackpot or the lottery. And let's say, you know, I'm taking that someplace. You know, I'm going to be very careful, especially if I know that there's people that know that I have that card and know that I have a $500,000 lottery ticket I'm walking around with. I'm not just going to kind of carelessly kind of let it slip out of my, just kind of showing his face out of my pocket and just kind of walking down the street or just kind of flipping it up in the air and walking around. You know what? I'm going to guard that. I might even put that in something protective. I'm going to be very careful with what I do with that because of how precious and valuable it is. Well, the Bible says Satan comes to take away the word. The word ought to be the most precious and most valuable thing that you have in your life, because from the word springs everything. Because without the word, you can be the best ground, but without the word, you don't produce. You can have the greatest ground, but without the good seed, it doesn't do any good. It'll look pretty, but you won't have any harvest from it. And so we need to make sure that if we know there's an enemy that is coming to try to steal the word, that we protect the word. What do I mean by protect the word? I mean, because now what it's talking about in this portion of scripture is the word that's sown into your life. You need to protect the word that is sown into your life. What do I mean by that? Well, protecting the word would be to place a high priority on it, to place value on the word that's sown into your life. And I'm going to hit a point here today that is absolutely vital, and I've said it over and over and over again, and I don't mind saying it over and over and over again. Paul said this. He said, "It's not grievous for me to write the same things to you." Basically, in the Mike Anderson translation, to kind of tell you what it says, he says, it doesn't bother me to tell you the same things over and over again, because I know by doing so it keeps you safe. Right. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. Amen. And I can't tell you how many times I've listened to my pastor or Brother Hagin's sermon. I have Brother Hagin's series that I listen to over and over and over again. I could almost quote what he's going to say, tell you the story. And every time that I hear it, something new is given to me. Even the people last night, we had a chance to go out to dinner with a couple that blessed us and took us out for dinner after service. And they said they're going to be listening by live stream today. And if they are, they'll hear me talking about them. So praise the Lord for that. And so they were telling us how they listened to Sunday even after they heard Saturday night. And they said, even when you preach the same sermon or talk about the same thing, it's always different and you get something. You know, I was the associate pastor at the Jamestown Church. And we had a Saturday night service once and a Sunday service. And then one time, a certain period of time, we had 2 Sunday services in a row, a 9 and 11 o'clock. And I'll be honest, there were times that my flesh, I'd hear Pastor Tim, I mean, I was just get done from him preaching a whole sermon and get ready to do another sermon, do the worship and get ready to sit down and hear the same thing again. I knew he was going to preach the same sermon. And my flesh and my mind instantly wanted to say, oh, I just heard this. But I knew that my spirit was hungry for the word. The word's never old. The word never is the same. And I'd get hungry and I'd get excited about it, and something different would be there. I'd be like, he just preached the same sermon, yet I got something I need in this service. And so it doesn't bother me to tell you this point over and over again. Because when, you know, it's like with Caleb, and I've used this example. How many times have you just had to tell your kid once and they get it? They don't just get it once. It's like, wouldn't that be nice, though? Like, man, I can't tell you, Caleb has this fascination with light switches. And he's listening by live stream right now, so he probably just thinks this is the best thing ever. And had a little car trouble this morning and couldn't get here. But I can't just tell that kid one time. It's like, and sometimes I'm like, oh my, that's like the seventh time today I've told, don't turn on the lights. It's like every room he goes, boom, boom, everything's on. It's like, ah, there's light, you know. But you have to tell them over and over again. It's the same way with sheep. And listen, I have a pastor as well. How many times you had to tell me the same things over and over and over again? And it sinks in eventually through the repetition. Repetition's good. You know, I remember being playing baseball, and I was successful at it. I played shortstop. And I took ground ball after ground ball at shortstop. Just my dad just hitting me grounders into the dark of the night, throwing a ball off a wall and fielding it, getting my form down and getting it to be like it's almost secondary. You think about people that play tennis. They do these things over and over. People that shoot baskets that are professionals. They do it over and over and over again. Why? Because they know repetition's the key. Doing it the same way every single time. It's like when you shoot a bow and you get ready to hunt. I want to be able to see when you're shooting in your yard and there's not a real moving deer and you're not super excited and the adrenaline's not flowing and buck fever's not going and it's just woohoo. You know, I get excited. I don't know what your thing is, but that's my thing. When I'm shooting in my yard on top of my roof down at a target, it's just pure and calm. But during that time of repetition, I want to make sure my form is the same. Because that way, when I come into a situation or the time when it comes, I don't want to have to think about, okay, hold my arm. Don't squeeze the bow. Bend at the elbow. Pull it back. Anchor my point. And all these, I want to be consistent. And repetition is the key to that. And so repetition is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. So I don't mind sharing this point because it is so vital. And it's really one of the main 3 points of our success to life. What I've always told you, get saved. Find a Bible teaching pastor who will teach you the word, and then do the word. If people would do those 3 things, holy cow, would their life be different? It would. It'd be different. And so, anyways, we need to protect the word sown into our life. Well, we need to place a value on the word sown into our life. Yes, we can have the word that's not sown into our life from the sense of nobody speaking it to us, nobody preaching and teaching it to us, and you ought to have that. You ought to have times. Listen, maybe this is fortunately or unfortunately, depends on how you feel about me, but I can't be with you 24/7 speaking the word to you all the time in any situation that arises saying, okay, do it this way. And so there ought to be times of personal meditation and personal study. The Bible says study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Well, you should have times of study and times of meditation in the word, but also there's a value that needs to be placed. This is talking about here that Satan comes to steal the word that's sown into your life. So you need to place a priority and place a value on the word sown into your life. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. Now it's important to see this. Jesus said, the sower sows the word. So you'll have people in your life that will sow you the word. And when that happens, now Satan's trying to get that word out of your life. You need to protect that word. You need to place a value. You need to place a priority on that word sown into your life. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, who is Paul and who is Apollos? Now he's going to answer that question. He said, but ministers by whom you believed. What does he mean? That they preached, they were ministers, they preached the word, and they believed the preaching of Paul and Apollos. He said, who is Paul, who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe. Now notice this. Even as the Lord, this is important because people don't place a value on this, even as the Lord gave to every man. The Bible is saying to us that God has given every man or every one of his children, actually, he's provided someone for everybody, even people that aren't born again, but they got to get saved and get in the kingdom to realize that. But the Bible says that a minister, somebody that sows the word, has been provided or given to every single man by who? Even as the Lord gave them. And so God has given you or provided you a human being that their sole purpose in their life and the relationship to have with you is to strictly sow you the word of God. And now why do I bring this point up? Because the Bible says Satan comes immediately to take away the word sown. So we need to protect the word sown. We need to value, what I'm saying is we need to value the relationship of the person that is put in your life, that was given to you by God, that's sowing the word in your life. What do I mean by that? Well, there's a whole wave going through the body of Christ that says there's people that are meeting in home churches, don't have a pastor, they're just taking turns sharing the word and taking turns talking about the Bible. That's not biblical. There's people that are just hopping around from church to church to church and going to places where they're not preaching the word. And, well, I'm just in church, that's important enough. That's not biblical. You need somebody that's going to sow you the word. And let me go further in this. In verse 6 it says, I have planted, Paul saying, what's he saying planting? He's not talking about a garden out back. He's talking about sowing the word. I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. But this is what I want you to see. You can't have increase into your life until somebody sows the word into your life. Notice you can't have just increase by being at home doing it on your own. You can't just have increase by your personal prayer and study and meditation time with God. I am so tired of the 2014 American church that tells me I can do it myself and I can do this on my own. I have Jesus. I mean, people that are saying that are basically trying to give an excuse to get out of church and be rogue, be disobedient to the word of God. But I hear it all the time. And I hear it from people whose lives are a mess, telling me, I don't need a pastor. I don't need a minister. I can do this on my own. And their lives are scattered, absolutely scattered, look like a mess. And I say, well, if that's the case, then you're not doing a very good job. Something is off here in the equation because it's not biblical. We need to do it God's way. But he said, I've planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. You can't have increase until you yield and submit yourself under the sowing or the watering of the word. Now go drop down to verse 9. Again, you've heard this over and over again. Praise God. Thank God for Elizabeth. She amens me so good back there. Such a sweet little baby. A miracle from God, that little girl is. She's got a great plan for her life. It's going to be exciting to see what she does. For we are laborers. Sometime I'd love to tell her testimony, if you guys would let me. It'd be a blessing to the church. Mommy and Daddy believe God, and great things happen for their little girl. Hallelujah. Anyways, it says, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. You might say, man, what does that mean, God's husbandry? A little blind to us. Well, if you look that up in the Greek, it means you are God's garden. You are God's garden. God looks at you as soil. Man, God sure is calling us dirt in a lot of places, isn't he? He says, you are God's soil. And the one way that he knows he can get it to grow is by the minister that he gave you with a gift on their life to sow the word. And we need to value that. We need to protect that. We need to place a priority on that. Hallelujah. And now go with me real quick to Ephesians 4 and verse 8. Ephesians 4 and verse 8. There are men or women. Some of the best ministers I know are female preachers. And men or women that have been specifically sent to planet Earth to be a supply in your life, that you are specifically supposed to hook up with. Is that biblical? 100%. Absolutely biblical. I know in my life that God has sent me a pastor that I can't depart from, that I know that he's my supply. He's the word that's sown into my life. And I value that. I treasure that. I place a high priority on that. I protect that. Ephesians 4 and verse 8 says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Praise God that God gives gifts. Amen. Amen. Well, what are these gifts? Verse 11 tells us. He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Well, the word of God likens his children to sheep. The relationship that you'll benefit from the most and have the most interaction in your life is the office of the pastor. It just is. We need the apostle. We need the prophet. We need the evangelist and the teachers, but they don't stand in a place to be with the sheep. If you think about a shepherd is among the sheep daily, weekly, all the time, interaction with the sheep, knowing about each sheep, knowing about their lives, helping them, protecting them, caring for them, loving them, and keeping them safe. And so the pastor isn't the most, I don't want to say it's the most important in the sense that, because you need all these gifts. Actually, go to verse 12, we'll see why. You need these gifts for the perfecting of the saints. He's saying you need men and women who have a gift on your life, that their life to perfect you. And without them, you won't be perfected. You will be lacking in some things. That's why I stress to this church, boy, when there's guest ministers at Jamestown, when there's guest ministers at Fredonia, when we have them in here, I know it's a drive, and I know it can be a sacrifice. But see, you can't fully be perfected by my gift. You need the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And thank God for these other ministry gifts that come in, and we're so blessed to have just such high caliber people come in to help perfect us. And if you don't submit yourself to these, just the same way if you don't submit yourself to the office of the pastor, you will be lacking. And then when you lack, the work of the ministry won't get done, and the edifying of the body of Christ won't be done, so the whole body will hurt. So there's a whole orderly system. See, people that are against us are against God's order. They're against God's ways. Listen, if he said it a different way, I'd preach it a different way. But he said he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? To do what? To sow the word into your life. God has set people now, how do you know who is it to be? Well, number one, a good judge of it is, if they're not preaching the word of God, they're not for you. Can I just swipe that clean real quick? If they're not preaching the word of God, they're not for you. I don't care how wonderful the fellowship is. I don't care how great the worship team is. I don't care how great the children's care is in the nursery. I don't care how great all the programs are. I don't care how great loving and everyone's kind and the cliques and the groups and the weekly meetings we have and the different things that are formed. If they're not preaching the word, that's not your church. Amen. Jesus said to Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? He said it three times. And every time Peter said, yeah. And then by the third time, Peter's getting annoyed. He's like, Lord, you know I love you. Why do you keep asking me this? And Jesus said, okay, then if you love me, feed my sheep. Jesus said, if you truly love me, the sheep will be fed. So what's Jesus interested in? Sheep being fed. The word of God. He's not interested in the programs. He's not interested in the worship team. Jesus did not have a traveling band. If he did, the Bible says nothing about it. No worship team. Which makes me feel good because sometimes I think to myself, that is not a worship team. But we're being biblical. But a worship team's coming because music does have a place in the word. But the word trumps the worship team. The word trumps the child care. The word trumps the groups. And so number one, if they're not preaching the word, it's not the place for you. And you need to value that. And sometimes people have more of a value on relationships, more of a value on how it makes them feel, and more of a value on the programs and all the things. No, value the word. Value the word. But God will set you up. Now, this is where I really want to take you a step further. Are you ready for this? Think about what it really means then. So really, you'd say this, that the whole thing of us being blessed is not the building. It's not the gathering of in a building. It's really all dependent upon who's leading that place and who's sowing the word into your life. Because I'm going to tell you, when I came into the church as a gambler, well, before I came into the church when I had all the problems that I listed earlier, I met with people who were religious. I met with people. I mean, I had a grandma who beat me over the head with the Bible, literally and figuratively, beat me over the head with the Bible and tried to just steer me or force me into the kingdom of God. And she had me sit down with her pastor. She had me sit down with their youth minister. And everything they told me fell right to the floor. It wasn't till a man of God came into my life and spoke the word. It wasn't a building. I was in a lot of beautiful buildings. It was when people, we don't like to say this because then it looks like we're man worship or female or minister worship. That's not what we're saying. But God always says, I'm going to send you a person that specifically has a gift on their life to sow into your life. And we need to understand that. It's not exalting me. It's not exalting my pastor. It's not exalting any other ministers or these traveling ministers. It's just God's order of how he does things. Amen. Y'all know I'm not special and not on my own. It's all based on what he does. And so we have to recognize that, and we have to place a value on that. That way we'll be in the place that we need to be consistently if we want our growth to happen. And I'll tell you this. If I don't preach the word, run. Right? Go somewhere else. Go somewhere else and don't take my word for anything. Make sure it's always in the Bible. Romans chapter 1 and verse 11. Romans 1 and verse 11. Praise God. Because then people will say, well, you know what? There's a lot of pastors on television. There's a lot of things on, there's live stream. Can I just say this about live stream? Live stream was never meant for people to have an opportunity to skip church. I'm thankful for live stream when people can't be here, or if you want to go back and listen, or if you're traveling, you're on vacation, or something comes up. Thank God for live stream. But if you're using live stream as a source, well, it's just the same as being there. No, it's not. No, it's not. I'm going to show you in the Word that it's not even close to the same thing. Romans chapter 1 and verse 11 says this, for I long, this is Paul now, The apostle who knew more about any of this than any of us will ever know. He got instructed by Jesus himself. He wrote this stuff. For I long to see you. Now, in the day and times he's writing this, he's not talking about live stream. He's not talking about Facebook. He's not talking about FaceTime. He's not talking about Skype. He's saying, I long to see you. They didn't have that stuff back then. I long to see you, your picture in a letter. No, I long to see you face to face. Why? That I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established or set up or in a solid foundational place is what he's saying. Someone that's established, someone that has a foundation, someone that's immovable. Paul says that only can happen when there's a face-to-face interaction. You say, why? I say, I don't know. Ask him. Yeah. I don't know why it's different listening on live stream. I don't know why it's different hearing from someone on TV. But the Bible says that it is. The Bible says that there's something spiritual. There's a gift that's imparted to you when there's that face-to-face interaction. Paul told Timothy, I desire to see your face. I want to see your face. And so I don't know the deal. All I know is that people that listen by live stream and come to service say this. I mean, we were talking about it last night. Some people, I brought this point up. They said, boy, you're so right. Well, one of the reasons is there's a corporate anointing here. There's a bunch of believers coming together that have faith, and it's charged. It's a charged atmosphere. The Spirit of God's moving in this place. Two or three are gathered. So not only is Jesus in our hearts, but the manifested presence of Jesus is in this service. Things are different. It's a lot different than listening by live stream. Well, because that's the way the Bible has it. God wants you to hear it face to face. I'll tell you, it's going to be very hard to get that TV preacher to lay your hands on your son when you have a golf ball-sized thing on your... Yeah, it'll be very hard. It'll be very hard when you need someone to come and visit you at the hospital or to pray for you and to put faith. You go ahead, you try to get a hold of Joel Osteen. Go ahead, try to get a hold of him and see what he can do for you. He's a wonderful man. Wonderful man, loves the Lord, but you try to get a hold of him when you need something. Yeah, you try when you have a question. I mean, I've opened the door. If you have a question, put it on your card. Call me, text me, whatever you need to do. Let's get this figured out and help you. You know, try to get a hold of Charles Stanley. Or you need them, or Billy Graham, or all these any of these people. It's just not going to happen. They have their purpose. Right. But it's not to be a shepherd to you. Can you imagine a shepherd in the natural pastoring shepherding his flock via live stream? Doesn't make sense. Right. It does not make sense. It can't happen. And Dr. Katie, she's back there nodding her head. No, there's no way that's working. She knows. She has all these little animals. She sees the interaction they need. They need it. They need the face-to-face. It's wonderful for a pastor to be able to lay his hands on the sheep. Go ahead and see if you can get these people to lay hands on you and impart something to you. It won't happen. And so there's a system that God has set up. And it's just important that we value that. And when we get to a place, I'll tell you this, when you get to a place where the word is sown in your life, protect it. Value it. Treasure it. Why? Because the devil is trying to rip it away from you. Now, there's also the mindset, and the devil will come and play in people's minds. And let me just swipe it clean for anyone listening by live stream and anyone listening from here on out. Nobody's trying to manipulate you or force you to say that you have to come to my church. Listen, I am smart enough to know not everybody in this world is called to be in my church. But there are people that are called to be here. And so nobody's saying, I'm saying if God has put you there, and God has set you up there, this is good for us to know this. Then that's where you want to plant yourself. Go to Psalm 92 real quick. Psalm 92, we're talking about protecting the word. Psalm 92 and verse 13. The word helps us. Amen. Praise God. Psalm 92 and verse 13. Say, Pastor, I've heard this before. I've heard this before. Well, that's good. You need to hear it again and again and again. Because Satan's always, he's looking for any opportunity he can to rob that opportunity for the word to be sown in your life. Because the word is the answer to all your problems. Amen. It is. It's the answer to all your problems. Psalm 92 and verse 13. Look what it says. Those that be planted. You know what planted means? You know, you look at an oak tree that's planted, that thing's immovable. You're not moving that from place to place. Well, I don't like it here on the farm. Let's get that oak tree that's been there for 100 years and let's move it over to this part. No, it's planted somewhere. It's deep in the roots. Those that be planted, where? In the house of the Lord. Not on their couches. Not on their recliners. Flipping on the television. No. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord. Why? Because when you're planted in the house of the Lord, a biblical house of the Lord, the word should be being sown into your life. You're God's garden. The word's going forth. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Make up your mind to plant yourself in the house. If it's here, great, but make sure it's a place that God has told you to go and that is teaching the Word of God. And when you find that place, protect it and guard it, because the devil wants to rob from you. He wants to take from you. And listen, the devil's not some scary dude, but when he has an opportunity to work in your life, he becomes scary, because his goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. It's not to give you just a little black eye or stub your toe and give you a boo-boo. He wants to mess your family up, wants to mess your kids up, wants to mess your finances up, wants to mess your life up. Don't give him an opportunity. Don't let him take that word away from you. Praise God. And then we'll close with this. Go with me to Matthew 13. So we're looking here at the wayside ground, and there's two things I wanted to bring out. This point will not nearly be as long, I promise you. But it's important that we value that. Hey, I have a pastor. I have a minister that God sent to me, that God gave to every man. Hallelujah. And I'm going to value that. I'm going to place a priority on that because I need what he's saying. Matthew 13 and verse 18. Now, I'm not going to read all the way down through this, but Matthew 13 and verse 18 is the beginning of the parable of the sower from Matthew's account. And what's awesome about the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is it's four different human beings who wrote about the same things but had different takes. It's like if you and I saw an accident or something and we wrote about it, you might include something that I wouldn't include in that. Maybe something from the scenery, maybe something somebody said. You might just be black and white, cut and dry what it said. Someone else might be more creative and include all different things. And that's what you see in these Gospels. So it's not that they contradict. It's that they're coming from different places, and some includes one thing, some include something else and different things. It says, hear the parable of the sower. Now we're going to look at the first ground, the wayside ground. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, now notice this is the key. We're finding out another way that the wayside ground doesn't grow. Again, protect the word, so at least it's sown into your life, and understands it not, then comes the wicked one, catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. So not only in protecting the word sown, to protect the word sown means to put yourself in a position to hear the word. That's what it means, to submit to yourself to that. But also the Bible says now, when that word is sown and somebody doesn't understand it, Satan comes in and robs that right out of their life. Now this is what I want to just tell you real quick on this last point. Don't need to spend a whole lot of time on this point. If you ever hear me say anything, now I don't mean that I'm, you know me, I don't know how to preach deep or complex, but there might be things in the word that are foreign to you. And the things of the spirit do not mesh with the mind or the flesh. What do I mean by that? The word, the Bible says, is spirit and life. And sometimes, the Bible says that the spirit and the flesh are at war with each other. And the Bible says to renew your mind to the word, so your mind's not automatically going the direction of the word. You have to force it to go the direction of the word. What does that mean? I can say things spiritually from the word of God that can hit your flesh and can hit your mind, and you have it makes no sense to you at all. It's a foreign place. It's just this foreign idea of anything, like the idea of speaking by faith. The idea, I'll use an example, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. The Bible's clear on that it's not just some minor thing, that it's, besides salvation, it's the greatest gift God's ever given us. Yes, I'll say that again. Besides salvation, it's the greatest gift that God has ever given the Christian, the ability to be filled with the Holy Ghost and pray in tongues. But here's and this is what I'll mention to you. I will tell this church, I will mention, and I know there's people that aren't filled with the Holy Ghost and things, and I just know that, I don't know specifics, I just know there are people that are not filled with the Holy Ghost. But I'll mention about how it's needed. I'll mention the benefits of it. I'll mention how wonderful it is. I'll mention that Jesus commanded us to do it. And then I'll give an invitation. If you don't know anything about this, call me. We'll talk for hours. We'll sit in my office for hours. I'll go through the whole thing with you. But when people hear the thing about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they don't understand it. It's foreign to them, this idea of speaking in tongues. And so immediately what Satan does is he comes and tries to take that word. Instead of people saying, okay, I don't understand it, I have a pastor who can help me, they say, I don't understand it, I'm going to back off of it. And what Satan says, got him, because they understood it not, and I ripped it away from them. And what he was telling me, see, you don't understand when I'm mentioning to you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm mentioning to you life-changing opportunities for you. Absolutely new dimension of God, a new dimension of power, a new dimension of love walk, a new dimension of hearing from heaven, a new dimension of praying out mysteries and hearing the future and the unknown. It's not a minor thing. It's not some obscure passage in the Bible. It's a major doctrine. And actually, I'll just tell you right now, after this series. That's where we're going, into a series on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because people need it. It is such a gift that people are lacking. And I'll say that to people, and I'll give that invitation, and because they don't understand it, they back away from it, and Satan says, okay, that word that he just sowed, that word that's telling you, I just sowed it to you. I just told you the baptism of the Ghost will bring you power, pray out mysteries, a new dimension in your love walk, a new dimension of faith, a new dimension of hearing from God. That word was sown in your heart. And now Satan will try to come in and say, you know, that's not for me. I don't want any of that tongues business. I don't want any of that Spirit, Holy Ghost stuff. And he gets it from you, and then you don't bear fruit in that area. So I believe that's the reason the Lord's having me do this series on the parable of the sower, to show you the value of the word, to then go into that series and preach it. Because the church will go to a new level if people get filled with the Holy Ghost and start praying. It will. It's an amazing gift. It's wonderful. And so I just want to encourage you with this as we close. If you ever have any questions about anything, listen, you can't bother me. You can't. It's just not possible. I give my life for this. I enjoy it. I love it. I care about you. I just want to see you blessed more than anything. If you ever have a question, you don't understand something, Pastor, that, or even you don't agree with something, please, this is even maybe more important. You don't agree. Say, you know what? I just don't see it that way. Let's just sit down from a place of, I'm not trying to be right. You're not trying to be right, but let's get it right. Amen. I don't care about being right. I just want to get it right, because that way people are helped, and just approach in a humble way, the same way. I'm going to close my Bible to get you excited here real quick. And when I came into family church under Pastor Michael, boy, there were things that he taught and said from the word that, man, the church that I went to, I never saw that kind of stuff happen in church. I never heard that kind of stuff. And it was so foreign to me. And either it was just blowing my mind, or I just downright disagreed because I was so stuck in my traditions and religious ways that I wanted nothing to do with it. But I came to him and said, listen, I want to know the word more. Can you show me these things? And I wasn't afraid, or I wasn't didn't come from a place of fear and asking. So I encourage you to reach out. If you have a question, put it on your blue card. Text me, call me. We'll sit down and we'll talk about the word, because I want the word sown into your life to produce something for you. So anytime at all, there's no question too simple. There's no question too deep. If I can help you, I will. I'll just say this. There's way more I don't know than I do know. And so I'll do my best to help you and show you the word. But don't let something come across your plate and just take it from the standpoint of, I don't get that. That just isn't for me. No, that's the devil trying to, when they understand it not, he can take away the word. And just because it's sown into you doesn't mean it'll stay there. If you don't understand it and comprehend it, the Bible says he'll rip it away from you. Amen? So let's protect, let's value the word, and let's make sure we get it. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to hear the word today. Father, to preach the word today, to sow the word. Father, you love us so much. Lord, you care so much about us. You're just so good to us. Father, I'm thankful for the people that you've put in my life specifically to sow the word to me. Father, I value that relationships. I protect those relationships, Father. Lord, even as I'm praying now, it's brought up in my spirit. I think about Elijah and Elisha. Elijah had something for Elisha and even tried to shoo him away. And Elisha said, I'm just not going anywhere. I'm going to stick where I'm supposed to be. I'm going to stick where I'm supposed to go. And he was blessed so much. And Father, I think about Abraham and Lot and how Lot was under Abraham, and Abraham had the spiritual authority over him, and Lot just decided on his own to separate and go his own way because of material things. And Father, I think about what happened in his life, and Father, I just pray that people would value the word sown, that they would recognize how blessed that they are. Now, I'm praying to God at the same time, keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, but I'm also going to say something directly to the congregation now. So I'm jumping out of my prayer to talk to you here while your eyes are closed. Understand what I mean when I say this. Because we're in a word church, maybe we take it for granted sometimes, we don't understand how blessed and fortunate we are to have somebody that will come in here and tell you the truth every single week. And that's not bragging on me, because I'm saying it for anybody that hears the word. I'm saying it for myself when I go to hear the word. How fortunate to have, because I'll tell you what, the majority of churches are not preaching the Bible. They're preaching fluff, and fluff does not help people. Fluff is not good for people. People need to hear the uncompromised word of God. And we are so blessed to be able to come here week after week to have somebody that will stand up here and not compromise the word of God. And I'm so blessed that I have someone in my life that will not compromise the word. Now I'm going to go back to praying. Hallelujah. Father, I say that, Lord, so that we do place a value on the word. Lord, you know me. I'm not looking for man worship. I'm not looking for people to kiss my rear, Father. I want people to value the word. I want people to treasure the word, Father. And so, Lord, we thank you for the word sown today. Father, we thank you that it'll grow in us. We thank you that we'll produce much fruit. And Father, that we're gonna have fruit in all areas of our lives, Father God. We thank you for it. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. And if you're listening by live stream, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that. And you might say, well, I don't have to worry about that. Well, you know, a lot of people that are in the obituaries thought maybe they didn't have to worry about that day. Life is not immortal in the sense of this natural life. And so we are mortal beings. And it's just good to know when a gift of heaven is offered, it's so free and costs you nothing. My goodness, take advantage of it. If you believe Jesus died on the cross and you believe that he rose again from the dead, that gift is available to you. It doesn't mean you have to be a member of this church. You don't have to give any money. You don't have to, start calling yourself something different. It's just a gift that God has offered you. It's free. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you can say, boy, I don't know where I'd go, and you want to receive Jesus, nobody's looking around. We're not going to embarrass you. Would you just raise your hand if you want to accept Jesus today and know that you're going to heaven? Say, well, I've been a good person. Well, that doesn't matter because how good would you have to be? You might say, well, I'm just too bad to accept Jesus. No, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So if you're here or listening and you want to receive Jesus in this building, would you just slip your hand in the air if you want to receive Jesus? I'll have you put it right back down. It's between you and the Lord, anyone at all. Lord, I don't see any hands in this building, but if by chance in this building there's somebody that needs to respond or somebody by live stream, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus their Lord. And how do you do that? You just cry out to Jesus and say, I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. Come into my heart. If you prayed that, let us know. We'll get you set up and get you started in this new life with God. Father, we love you today. We're so thankful. Father, I just thank you for safe travel, for everybody going out of here. Lord, bless them for coming out in this weather today and making an effort to hear the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Have an awesome rest of the weekend, and you're dismissed. We'll see you.
Riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your endless light of the world.